We all should know what an SOP is, but for those who might be new to the business, it stands for a standard operating procedure. That's our topic today, and you may be thinking, if it's standard, it should be simple, so why are we even here? Well, our expert today to talk about this is Dean Mercado, the CEO of Online Marketing Muscle. Dean, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so glad to be with you here again today. Thank you.
Yeah. SOP. It's pretty simple, Dean. Why are we here? Tell us about it.
Right. Well, in all honesty, Jeff, after logging somewhere between 10 and 20,000 hours of coaching entrepreneurs, and many of them from the cleaning industry, one of the biggest breakdowns that I encountered over the last two decades is the lack of systems, processes, and procedures. Systems, processes, and procedures. And then they wonder why. They're getting roller coaster result. They're not getting the right results out of their people. They're not getting the right amount of leads into their business. The sales is not where they'd like it to be. And a lot of these tie back to this same issue about, okay, well, let's clean it up. Let's standardize something really. And then let's make sure that we put those controls in place to measure, to make sure that we're doing what we said we wanted to do. Right. So not as easy as it sounds, so to speak. So what I figured we'd get into today, and for all of you out there, all of you out there listening, Jeff did chop me down a little bit on this one to try and simulate, because we could talk for hours on this. So out of respect for what Jeff said, we're gonna cover five, but I'll give you some honorable mentions at the end. And let's dive right in. First one. And these are in order of what I think is the most important. The first and most important one out there is having an SOP for lead generation. How are you going to generate leads on a consistent basis into your company? Now, I know most cleaning companies tend to take what I call a reactive posture. They sit back and they wait and they hope that somebody's going to call, the phone's going to ring, somebody's going to refer them, whatever that looks like. Or they're going to hope that one of their existing clients doesn't say, you know what, I'm done. You know, and this happens all the time. And especially what I see this a lot in the commercial side too. We got to be very careful in the commercial cleaning side. They tend to have maybe less clients, but bigger. And if one of those big clients goes away, that commercial cleaning company, bah, 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 they're gone. So that reactive posture does not work. What I'm suggesting is a more proactive posture, being on top of what it is you want to create. So when we talk lead generation is big. It's a big animal. All I'm going to suggest to you is take your number one tactic, marketing tactic for generating leads, and build that procedure out. Document that procedure. So this way, you're making sure that you're doing the one thing that you know works the best for you, the right way, the best way, every single time. And in your standard operating procedure, you're not only going to document what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, who's responsible for it. You can also be documenting what the measurements or controls are that are needed to make sure that it's happening, right? So let's say you're a residential cleaning company. Bottom line is you want X amount of leads, let's say, from your website every single month. Let's say you want 30. You want 30 leads generated through your website each month. That's an average of one a day, right? Well, how are you measuring that? How are you ensuring? Are you sitting back because you built a website 3 years ago? You're sitting back waiting and hoping that somebody's going to visit your website? Or do you have a procedure for driving traffic to that website, making sure that the website can do what you're asking it to do? So lead generation, pick one tactic. So it'll be lead generation speaking, lead generation, Facebook ads, lead generation, whatever it is. Pick one. That's your number one. Now let's dovetail that with the second item, which is lead conversion. Lead conversion, an SOP for lead conversion. How are you going to convert that lead that comes in to a paying client, right? Sounds easy. Some of you are great at it. Some of you have an amazing percentage that you do when it comes to closing sales, but a lot of you don't. And the bottom line is, until you document it, until it's down on paper, until it's a followable process, you're stuck doing it. You're the one who has to do it all the time. Now, what happens if you want to retire? What happens if you get sick? What happens if there's something else that really needs your attention in your life? What are you going to do then? Right? So, yeah, it's nice to feel all mighty and great because we could close sales like crazy. We're the best. But you know what? The key is to make your business not need you. And I hate to say it that way. I don't want you to feel like nobody loves you anymore. We do. We love you. The bottom line is you've got to build the business so that it can operate without you. Otherwise, you just built a job. And that job will not be able to function without your presence, without you taking it on and doing it for whatever. And many times I see people also blaming, well, I hired this person to help with sales and then I'm not getting anything out of it. Well, do you have an SOP for it? Have you trained them to follow that SOP? Is that SOP easily accessible to them so that they could see it and follow it each and every time? So bottom line, this is about sales. Lead conversion is about your sales process, which is a little bit bigger, but your main procedure. When a lead comes in, let's say it comes in by phone, document that process. How do you handle that lead that comes in via phone? What form are you filling out, right? Are you giving them a quote right over the phone? What does this whole procedure look like? Lay it out so your team could play it out, right? That was the second one. Let's get into the third one. Now, we work so hard to get those new clients in. This one tends to spread across your entire organization. And this is about employee onboarding, training, right? Going forward, you're going to bring a new employee to your team, right? What are you doing to train them and develop them? What does that process look like? And it should be the same no matter who you're bringing on, right? So you want to have a proper training. In my company, for example, we have a 90-day onboarding, right? Where there are specific things that are happening throughout that 90-day period, including in our SOP, in the first 2 weeks, we're having daily huddles with that particular person. And it could be 15 minutes. Right? If needed, sometimes there's one at the beginning of the day, one at the end of the day. And then after 2 weeks, we move to once a week, right? And then after 2 months, we just meet them again in a month. But after 90 days, we kind of know whether or not they're a good fit for us. We're a good fit for them. If we don't give them the attention they need and deserve at that point, shame on us when we're getting bad reviews online, when we're getting clients firing us, when we're getting inconsistent results in the cleaning we're providing out there. I can't stress this enough. Those first 90 days with your new team member are the most critical with that team member. It's just like when you have kids, and I have kids, and Jeff, you have kids too, right? Mm-hmm. Those first several years of their life are the ones that form how they're going to go forward in so many ways, those forming years, right? That's what I'm talking about. It's about you establishing the proper rhythm, the proper loving and caring with these employees that you really need to. And they, in turn, will extend that to your clients, which is ultimately what we want. So big time. Then we're going to come back to the client side of it. And I'll say the same thing about clients as my number four. It's going to be the client onboarding, right? That we're supposed to be doing. And it's about, I would add into that, not only just the onboarding, but the communication. What's going to be the communication rhythm we're going to put in place on how often we're going to communicate with our clients to make sure that there's always dialogue going on. And it's not just when something's wrong, right? So how you onboard a client is critically important to how they feel about you going forward. If you onboard them correctly, chances are, once you start doing the cleaning for that particular company, they're going to think differently about you. And they're going to look for the good in what you do, not the bad. And that's the difference. And Jeff, you and I did a session a while back about negative reviews. Mm-hmm. This is the crux of why many companies get negative reviews. They don't do a proper onboarding. They don't set proper expectation. And what happens? They get slammed. The client has a crazy notion in their head, maybe sometimes, of what they think they're supposed to be getting. And then when they don't get that, they're pissed. right? So that's a big fourth one. How you onboard that client. Now I'm going to give you the fifth. And this is my least favorite. And I say this because I personally believe that you're better off being a great marketer and salesperson and being just good at what you do in your business, delivering and fulfilling on what you say you do, than being great at what you do, fulfilling on what you do, and being an marketing and salesperson, right? I've seen too many best kept secrets out there, right? They're great at what they do, but you know what? They suck at marketing. They just can't market and sell. And they don't last very long, right? Or they struggle the whole way through. But this fifth one that I'm going to throw at you, this has to do with your cleaning protocols, right? Your cleaning machine. What does that look like? You know, do you have checklists in place for how you want things cleaned, how you want them taken care of? That flow of how you're going to fulfill on what you sold, right? Having a standardized protocol on what that looks like is critical, because too many of you have numerous teams out there and each team does a completely different job. And there's no standardization, right? No follow-up and no good follow-up and follow-through. Most of us as owners, we're doing this, we're peeking through our fingers to see, well, you know, maybe I didn't hear anything bad, so they must have did all right. No, not good. Don't go there. So that's the fifth one I wanted to give you, is to let's get that signature system, is what I like to have. What's your signature system? What does that look like? What are you going to do when you get out there and deliver what you said you were going to deliver? Right? So this way, there's congruency between what you said when you were selling, when you were marketing and selling, and what you deliver. You want them to be exactly the same. You want them to feel the same. You want them to be perceived the same. So on and so forth. So that's the five. Now, any questions on those, Jeff, before I throw out some honorable mentions?
Yeah, I know you got a few more. And I guess one question I would have, Dean, is you talked about these concepts, these SOPs. Are these to be documented, part of a company protocol, written out?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. See this?
Yeah, let's see it.
This is our template here. On the back, there's for an appendix for any supporting documentation.
Okay.
But we have a specific template that we document all of our SOPs in. You know, if anybody reaches out to me and they want that, I'm happy to share it with them. It's never an issue.
Yeah. So Dean's information is down below in the video description for those that want that. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's not that complicated, but I've had the luxury of working in big corporate America for some of the best big corporations that existed at that time on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they taught me a lot. And those companies were very extremely organized when it came to SOPs and systems. And I was driving a lot of that. Got into ISO 9000 and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I know what I'm doing because I learned from the best, right? And I'd say this is pretty simple.
Yeah.
What we got here. It's not that complicated. However, the vehicle that you deliver this in makes a big difference. Now, you can't take it, throw it in a big binder like this on the shelf and say, oh, we did it. We documented everything. That's not what I'm talking about, right? You've got to find a way of how do you make these readily available for your team? How are they accessible? For us internally, we use a project management system called Asana. And we document a lot of our SOPs in Google Docs. And every time we assign something to somebody, the accompanying work instruction or SOP is linked right in there, in their task. So every time we assign a task, the SOP accompanies it, right? So as well as you've got to do training and stuff like that, but you've got to find a vehicle that works for your company. Now, I'm not saying all of you need a project management software that may not fit your company. But I'm just saying that there are lots of ways you can do that. But the idea is you need to make it readily available so that there's no excuses, right? It's got to be easy to edit, easy to update, right? In one spot for people to find. So whatever that looks like for you, and I'm happy to talk to anybody about what that could look like for them if they want to talk. I'm, you know, always trying to make myself available.
Yeah, anyone that wants to reach out to Dean can do so. You know, you mentioned the large company you worked for before. It doesn't matter the size of the company. You need these SOPs, correct?
That's right. Absolutely. And when, no matter who we were consulting into, we were bringing this knowledge in and helping them do this in their companies. And, you know, there's reasons why those companies were the best consulting companies on the planet. They knew what they were doing, you know, and that's a good thing. So part of what I like to do is I look and see what the big guys are doing. And then how do we champion that for the little guy? So that the little guy, so little guy can actually start to see some of those successes as well. And that's not an easy thing to do, but it's a necessary thing. There's a reason some of these big businesses keep getting bigger, and there's a reason that the small ones don't.
True, true.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple minutes left.
Yep.
Honorable mentions. Take it away.
Okay. So one of the things that it really matters is getting paid. So having some sort of a billing SOP, how do you get paid? How I get paid SOP, that's a critical one. You don't want any hiccups, right? You want your pay, your way you get paid to be kind of standardized as much as possible. There's always going to be that client that wants to do it their way, a little bit different. And, you know, you have to be tough and you have to be willing and knowing how to push back when possible. You have to have some flexibility, but you got to have that SOP and draw the lines for your team so your team knows where they could push and kind of change things up a little bit and where you don't want them to, what's unacceptable for them. So billing is a big one. Customer service is a big one. Now, a lot of times when I look at customer service, I'm looking at it from an after somebody's complaining or there's a something going on. How are you dealing with things? So having a customer service, dovetailing that. The other big one that I call client retention, right? Client retention and loyalty. That's another honorable mention. How are you going to make that client? How are you going to wow them? How are you going to make them want to write you a review? How are you going to make them want to do more business with you and refer you, right? So client retention and loyalty. Another big one I would say is, especially on the commercial cleaning side, is the equipment and inventory management. Right? Making sure that you have an SOP for how that's going to be. You don't want a team out in the field and they don't have what they need to get the job done. You know, you got to make sure that that's wrapped up. And then I'll, with the 10th one I'll give you is scheduling and time management. How are you doing the scheduling? Making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be at all time when there's no fluff. And I'm going to give you one extra bonus. And that's an SOP for creating SOPs. You got to have something like this. Standardize the process of creating the SOP and you're more likely to create the SOPs, right? And I'm going to give you one extra bonus tip. Is that okay, Jeff?
Yeah, I can't keep up, but go ahead.
Think about how you can leverage AI to help you get these pieces developed and written.
Good point.
It is very doable. I do it with my clients all the time. I show them right in front of their face and they're blown away when they see what's possible. So if you're the owner of the company and you're saying, well, how the heck am I supposed to get not only those five you mentioned, but now he wants 10, and now he's telling me an SOP for it. Relax. It's not that bad, right? I can use AI myself and I can write most of my SOPs in a day. You know, so are they going to be perfect? No, and I'm not asking you to get that granular and that perfect. I'm looking for version one out of you. Give me version one. You know, think you're 100 feet off the ground. That's version one. You don't have to get in the weeds down on ground zero yet. Just get me to 100 feet so I can look down at your process and we could see that we could follow along what needs to happen in any of these one SOPs. So I hope this was helpful. I know it was a lot.
It's a lot, but important. So
yes.
You got it. I love the SOPs for SOPs. That's pretty good.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, and very, very important. That is, that is the one I would say create first. You know,
if you don't have to start anything somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Or ask me about this one and you can leverage ours, you know, just put it on your letterhead, you know,
that sounds easy.
All right. Yeah. Makes life easy, right?